Good morning. I started a series last week called The Forgotten God. And I made a run at it last week in my message, and I felt unsettled after that. And part of the bane and blessing of being a pastor is that you have a chance to try and unmuddle what I think I muddled. So that's what I'm going to try and do today. And this is a very important concept, and it's a very deep concept. And of course, it would take us some time to cousin up to this, because I wrestled with this concept for years about the forgotten God. And today we're going to take another stab at it. And we're going to talk about the temple concept today, the temple concept, which actually is God's agenda. Before we do that, in order for you to understand the temple concept, I'm going to talk to you about standard process. Okay? Now, my family knows that I'm all about standard process. This is a pharmaceutical supplement company, and they are up. What's that? Thank you, Keith. Keith knows. Keith has benefited from standard process. Some of the rest of you have. My mother-in-law has. I can't get Dick to take any pills, so that doesn't matter. But standard process is up in Wisconsin. And Teresa and I actually had the privilege of going up there and touring this factory. And it was quite an experience for us. And standard process is based on what is called the whole food concept. What does that mean? That means that the founder of Standard Process, Dr. Royal Lee, who was a dentist, actually, and he was also an inventor, he has several patents on a lot of different things. He had an idea that, a very theological idea. Standard Process is extremely theological, and that is this, that God put things together in nature exactly as they should be put together in nature for our bodies to function. You know, in Genesis, of course, my favorite book, Genesis in chapter 1, what does God say to paradisal man after he's created him? He says, I've given you all the seed-bearing plants throughout the creation for your nourishment and for your food. You go and you eat those things, and you're going to be okay if you do that. There are things in nature, in plants, in botanicals, that are combined in a way that we don't understand. We don't need to understand it. God put it there exactly as it should be. There are some things in foods that, for instance, that we can't even detect that are there. You know, our chemistry isn't advanced enough. We can't see it. So here we have something that's called Cataplex D. Okay? Now, Cataplex D, hence the name cataplex, means there are vitamin D found in nature, and here's what we've done in the laboratory. And I bet some of you are on this. Some of you women are on this. D3, right? D3. Oh, the scientific community is all about D3. It's the active form of vitamin D, so you need to take D3. Now, there's some other things in there in the D complex, but, you know, we don't think they really do anything. So we're going to get rid of them, and we're just going to give you D3. That is an isolated part of the D complex. Is this making sense? When we find vitamin D, though, in nature, as God intended, we find that there are five Ds in there, not just D3. There's five of them in there. So we've looked at it in the laboratory, and we say, well, D1, 2, 4, and 5, they don't do anything. We don't know why they're there, so we're going to get rid of them because we found that D3 is the active part of that. So we're just going to give you vitamin D3. Oh, no. Oh, no, Royal Lee said. We don't know what D1, 2, 4, and 5 do. We don't know, so we better leave them in there because that is how God intended. See, that's the whole food concept. And one of the pledges that Royal Lee makes with the whole food concept is, it is not disassociated, isolated components. Disassociated, isolated components. I got patients come in all the time. And I want to give them a calcium complex, okay? And it's, what is it, $25, Sandy? I think $25 for a bottle. All right, it's the calcium complex. It is all of the things that make calcium work. And it's $25. Although I have patients say, well, I went down to Rite Aid and I got the, what, don't use that voice? I went down to Rite Aid and I got calcium and it only cost me $2. And I said, I'll tell you what, I can even save you more money than that if you want to take that kind of calcium. It's calcium carbonate. What is calcium carbonate? I said, here's a cheaper way for you to take calcium carbonate. Go out along the road, get some limestone, get a hammer, and smash it up and go home and take that. Because that's what you're taking. You're taking limestone. Well, what's the problem with that? It takes the body 10 enzymatic reactions to change that calcium carbonate. I bet some of you are taking calcium carbonate. Go home and look. It's no good. Throw it away. Come up and see me. Then it takes the body 10 enzymatic actions to change that calcium carbonate into what the only calcium the body can use is called calcium bicarbonate. That's it. It's the only bioavailable form of calcium. Well, the body never does that. You are not going to get through 10 enzymatic reactions. I'll tell you that right now because I know you drink caffeine and I know you eat sugar. And the liver, instead of changing that calcium into calcium bicarbonate, says, I got to deal with this caffeine and sugar. I don't have time to change calcium into calcium bicarbonate, so I got to deal with that. You see, that's the beauty of standard process. It's bioavailable. There are ingredients in here that we don't know, but we certainly aren't arrogant enough to think we do know, and so we don't take those things out. There are hidden things in the complex, things that we can't see. Things that are visible to us, but they make it highly active. That's the whole food concept. It is not, I want you to remember this phrase, because it's very theological. It is not disassociated, isolated components. In other words, we don't take the D complex and disassociate it, take them apart. This one here, this one here, this one here, and just leave an isolated component and think that we've done something wonderful, because we haven't. We've done something incredibly stupid, actually. That's the whole food concept. You're going to understand the Holy Spirit, and you're going to understand the temple concept from this. This is, I'm holding up right now, a tablet of Cataplex D. This is not the whole food complex. It's the physical manifestation of it. This is not the theory. It's not the concept. It's what it looks like in real life. Got it? The concept is just like any concept. You have concepts, they're thoughts, they're ideas, they're philosophies. And then we take those concepts, the whole food concept has been taken and put into this, a tablet. But this is simply the manifestation of the concept. Is everybody got that crystal clear? I don't want to make this murky. You'll understand the temple concept now. Concept, physical manifestation. There. Got it? The temple. You all know what the temple is. When I say the temple, what do you think? You think brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. You think brick and mortar. You think first, you think BC temple, then you think second temple, don't you? You think of the building. The building, the brick and mortar, is not the concept of the temple. Okay? It's the pill. Okay? The brick and mortar building is the manifestation of the temple concept. Everybody on board with this? Because we will not proceed unless everybody here is on board with this concept. You got it? Okay, Barry, thank you. Speaking for everybody, thank you. The brick and mortar building that you think of when you heard the word temple is where the concept is played out. Okay? The concept is put into literally concrete, tangible things. The concept is made and played out in this brick and mortar building. That's what you think of when you think of temple. This topic fascinates me, by the way, and it has really changed my theology, by the way, and I think that if you can grab onto this, it will really change your theology. The point of the temple was it is the place where heaven and earth meet. Okay, let's say this building right here is the temple, Newville Church. Let's say this is the temple. Now, there's a concept floating around that has to be put into reality. And the concept, God's agenda, yeah, God has an agenda. God's agenda has always been heaven and earth should meet. And the point of the temple was that was the place where that took place. Here's the building. We're in the temple right now, let's imagine. Heaven and earth meet here. The concept that God envisioned became concrete in a building. The temple was the place, above all else, where the twin halves of God's creation intersected, intertwined, overlapped for a purpose. They worked together then, being intertwined, intersected, and overlapping. They worked together like the whole food concept, remember? Things in there we don't know, but they all work together. When heaven and earth intertwine, intersect, and overlap, they work together to potentiate and enhance the purpose and function of each dimension. Got it? Here's heaven over here. Here's earth over here. They need to come together in order for each to function correctly. Isn't that beautiful? God's plan, God's intention. When we read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you're reading the physical manifestation of the temple concept. You're reading the temple concept in action, aren't you? And it worked, did it not? How many times do we look at those two chapters, 1 and 2? You know where else you're reading? Hey, you know where else you're reading the temple concept in action? The only other place in Scripture where you're reading it, you're reading it here, the first two chapters in the Bible. Where else do you think you're going to read it? Last two chapters of the Bible. Is that not beautiful? Revelation 21 and 22. We got Genesis 1 and 2, temple concept in action, paradise. Oh, we look at that and we say, wow, that was great. We wish we could be there. Then we read Revelation 21 and 22, the end of the book, and we say, whoa, that's the temple concept in action again. And it works. That's where God says, because the temple concept is now working out again, that's where he says death, grief, crying, and pain no longer exist because the temple concept has been reinstated. Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation or Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you exactly when the temple concept starts. And what is the temple concept? What is it? What is it? Good, Barry. Heaven and earth intertwine, intersect, overlap, and work together. Got it? That's the temple concept. But the concept needs something to show that it's real. You want to see where it happens? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Here is so a fascinating thing happens in this verse. God, first of all, the author says, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, boom. Now, how did he do it? Look verse 2. Now the earth was what? Formless and empty and dark and chaotic. It was by itself. It was over here by itself, earth, trying to get along on its own. This is deep personal theology behind it, by the way, because I know some of you are trying to get along on your own. And the upshot of that is right here in the second verse of the first chapter of Scripture. What happens when you try and go it alone? Formless, empty darkness. Earth by itself. Oh, watch what happens. Where's heaven here? And the Spirit of God, heaven, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. They were not intertwined. There was no overlap yet. No intersection. Earth is dark, chaotic, and formless. Earth. Heaven, the Spirit of God, which is what heaven is, the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of it, like this. They're not together. And God, in his eternal mind, I can imagine, this is just the way I think of God, and I know that we're at the borders of language when you talk about God, but God is saying, how can I change this chaotic, dark emptiness of earth? What does earth need? What do I have to do? Oh, I know. I'll inject heaven into it. The temple concept begins. I'll take heaven, his spirit, I'll inject it into this earth, formless, dark, chaotic. I'll see what happens when I bring them together. I'll see if the temple concept actually works. Of course, God didn't think this, but this is how we understand it. So what does God do? Look. Then, verse 3, then the temple concept starts. First time we see it in history. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. What does that mean? That means God said in verse 3 in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to now interject myself into this earth and see what happens. I'm going to join the two dimensions. Right here in front of our eyes, we see it. It's incredible. At the end of chapter 3, we see him split. Fascinating. Look what happens when he joins. When God joins the fray. Teresa and I talk all the time, you know, we're in the fray, man. We're in the fray. It's messy, chaotic. But like we were talking about in Nate's class this morning, we've got to join the fray. We bring the temple concept to a chaotic world. You don't do it sitting at home with a warm, fuzzy feeling that you're saved and the world is stewing in its own juices. So God says, I'm going to interject myself, verse 3, let there be light. I'm going to speak into this earth. I'm going to join them. And there was light. And then verse 4. And then verse 4. And God saw that this concept was good. It works. I bring the two dimensions together. And chaos becomes order. And emptiness becomes fullness. And darkness becomes light. And then God did something significant. He goes, I'm going to separate light from darkness. In other words, A creation in a world with me is going to be separated from a creation in a world without me. Do you see that? It's all there in Genesis, first four verses. The temple concept begins. What is the temple concept? What's that, Fred? Right. Heaven and earth intertwine. Ever and always burn that into your brain. Because we see it happen right here in this third verse. We see heaven and earth intertwine. And we see the result of it. And then we also see the result of losing it. Eden, then, we read the first, everything so far so good. And also this has deep theological significance. This spins clear down into men and women, into marriage. Because at the end, you see, as God joins the two dimensions, as we follow the creation story, I got to be in my bonnet about this. Let it buzz a little bit this morning, because maybe you'll pick up something good about it. But when we read the creation story then, after God said, let there be light, each creative period, which are called days, not 24 hours, please get past that. Each creative period, God brings the dimensions into more apposition, closer together. And every time he does, more increasingly significant, wonderful, creative things happen. You see, the closer the dimensions intertwine, the more fantastic the result. He creates sky. He puts a vault between the water below and the water above. Then he separates the dry land from the wet, from the ocean. Then he makes the dry land teem with vegetation. And then he creates the light, the moon and the sun. So on and so forth. You see, earth becomes even more and more and more organized and full as God brings the dimensions closer and closer. Look at my hands. Okay, look here. He started like this. Here's the two dimensions. Void earth, God's spirit. Day, the very first day, then he does this. Okay? Day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You see this? And the pinnacle on day 6 is humanity. This is the highest representation of the two dimensions joined, humanity. And I'm going to represent, watch this, I'm going to represent what those two dimensions look like together by creating a man and a woman. Yeah. Male and female is the height, and they're joining the height of the two dimensions coming together. Fascinating. Eden then describes a garden temple. Remember, the temple concept needs something. Here, look. Needs something to be played out in. That's Eden. God, the two dimensions become one in Eden, and it's good. Everything's clicking. Man's immortal. It's a place where God, the Creator, heaven, resides with, dwells with his human creatures, earth. He dwells with them. He rules through them. They have an immediate, intimate, and direct relationship between the dimensions, earth and the Spirit of God, joined. But then, you see, Eden is not disassociated, isolated components. Do you ever feel that way? You know that's the enemy's tool, by the way. Look what the enemy does to this. Genesis chapter 3 comes. And the enemy, most cunning of all, God says in chapter 3, the most cunning of all, the enemy looks at this temple concept in your life and mine, And the enemy looks at the temple concept that's clicking along here in Genesis 1 and 2, and he says, you know, I got to do something to interrupt this. I've got to get into this. I know what I'll do. I'll create disassociated, isolated components. You ever feel disassociated and isolated? That is his game. Stay home on Sunday morning? Isolation. Disassociate them from God's people. It's the enemy's game. Because that's what he does here in Genesis chapter 3. And here's the sidebar. You know, Teresa and I go out to dinner. Talk about disassociated, isolated components. We see a couple sitting right next to us here. You know, a married couple. Or not, whatever. And Teresa and I are talking about our days. And we look over at the couple. What are they doing? Not even talking to each other. Looking at these things, these tablets. Teresa says, get a cell phone. I don't have a cell phone. I don't want to be that available. Yeah, I mean, I'm either in the woods or in my truck or I'm at the office. You can get me there. They're isolated components sitting at that table. That's what's happening to our society. You look at the chaos in our nation, look at the Oregon shootings and that sort of thing. Isolated components. Watch it. Get off those things. Interact. I'm telling you, you millennials, do you even know how to converse with people? I don't know. I mean, is it this texting stuff? Why don't you just pick up the phone? Why don't you talk? So they're sitting there, and they're isolated, disassociated, isolated components with each other, sitting at the same table, not even have any talking with each other. That's the enemy's game. And it's taking over the nation. Well, we got a problem in this nation. People aren't connected. That's why. He does it in Genesis chapter 3. He disassociates through his wiles and his ways, and he does it in my life all the time. He does it in your life. He tries to disassociate you into an isolated component away from the Spirit of God. If he does that, he's got you at Genesis chapter 3. And look what happens. The dimensions split. It's exactly what his game was, exactly what he wanted. This temple concept is working a little too well. How can I get into this? I know. I'll come to man and I'll tell him, you can go it alone. You just need earth. You don't need the heavenly concept. Let's split that apart. And what happens? The temple concept is interrupted. And where do we go right back to? What happens? What happens at the end of Genesis chapter 3? We loop right back, watch this, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. We're right back there again. Chaotic, void, dark earth. See this? Isn't this interesting? And the chaos and the darkness and the emptiness continues to spin. We talked this morning again about who would even imagine 5 years ago that we'd be murdering babies, dissecting their parts, and sending them in styrofoam containers across the country, UPS, and selling them. You know, if you'd hear that sort of thing 5 years ago, you would have said, you're crazy. We hear it today, and we have people sitting in churches today that defend it. Disassociated, isolated components. And the darkness gets darker and darker and darker, and that's exactly the enemy's game. But, well, the temple concept is interrupted. Interrupted. God has an agenda. God is committed to the temple concept in your life, in my life. He doesn't jettison it. Oh, well, Eden was great, but, you know, God had to come up with another thing because it just isn't going to work out. Oh, no, God did not jettison the temple concept or heaven and earth intertwine. He alters it, though. He alters it. So we have a gap. After Genesis 3, we have a gap until the temple concept is altered. The concept is ever and always there. Heaven and earth meet. Where is the most glaring example prior to the temple, the brick and mortar temple, which becomes, again, the manifestation of the temple concept in Genesis, where the temple concept is alive and well, where God still wants heaven and earth to join? He still wants those two dimensions. I'll tell you where, Genesis chapter 28. You know what happens there? Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob is lying down to sleep. And he thinks he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees a portal between a rift between the now split dimensions. He sees momentarily, have you ever had that experience, by the way? A momentary, temporary vision of your own where you see those two dimensions together again? You ever seen that? You ever had that? I bet you have. Look at Jacob, sleeping, thinking, dreaming, and he wakes up and he articulates the temple concept perfectly. He says three things about it. He says, this is an awesome place. Number one. Number two, it's the house of God. And number three, it is the gateway into heaven. There's the great articulation of the temple concept. And when we get a hold of that, and it's so hard for our Western minds to grasp this dimensional thing. But the interesting thing, and I know Nathan could tell you a lot more about this than I do, the interesting thing that as physics increases in their acumen and in their research, you know what physics is finding out? This is exactly the way it is. Oh, I can't see into the heavenly realm, therefore it doesn't exist. Oh, no, physics is saying, oh, it does exist. They've come up with something called dark matter. And dark matter is Nate's going to fact-check me on this, but dark matter, I think, is they find spaces and places in the universe that are occupied by something, but they don't know what. What are they seeing? What are they? They're peeking into that dimension. It's just... And here's Jacob. Awesome place, house of God, the gateway into heaven. That's the temple concept, Jacob. God didn't give up on it. It's ever and always there. God is going to get back to Genesis 1 and 2, where those things were clicking. He's not going to leave that. And to let your brains really spin out on this, that's my job, after all, to make your brains spin out. Isn't this exactly what Jesus' prayer was? You're going to look at the Lord's Prayer differently now. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus has a genetic, spiritual memory of Eden when the two dimensions were intertwined. Of course he would. Spirit of God, because it's the same spirit that was hovering over the water, is now in a man, Jesus, and they say, how do we pray? And Jesus goes back into his mind and he thinks, you know, I remember how it was in Eden when the dimensions were together. And what does Jesus ask happen in his prayer? What does he really ask is happening in his prayer? He says, your kingdom come. "Well, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth like it presently is in heaven." Jesus is asking for what? Isn't he? He's asking for the temple concept to be reinstituted on earth because he remembers how it was. The enemy's coming at you this week, and me. I'm in a spiritual dogfight right now. And he is trying to disassociate and isolate in my life. And the enemy's going to come at you this week to try and tamp down the temple concept in your life. He wants you to stay in the earthly dimension and forget it. You don't need the heavenly dimension. And he knows. Well, first of all, he hates you. And he hates me. And he knows the only thing that's going to happen to you is chaos, darkness, and emptiness. There it is. This is it. This is the struggle right here. The temple concept. All of it. The last two chapters talk about it, and everything in between is the struggle. But God is committed to the temple concept, and he inaugurates his plan. He inaugurates his plan to alter the concept in Genesis chapter 12, which we will pick up next week. Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing on this and the hope that is held and the challenge that is held for us in this concept, Lord. Amen.